إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, today we'll be reading from the fifth باب, باب ما جاء في شيب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The chapter on what has been reported about the Prophet shape, the Prophet's grey hair, alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't forget that this book, Al-Shama'il, has to do with two things. The khulq of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunan al-khulqiyah, the things upon which he is created, upon his character and his khalq, the things upon which he is created is khalq, and those things that are from his character is khulq. So two things, his khalq and his khulq, both combine into what they refer to as what? Al-Shama'il. So Al-Shama'il of Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam consists of his sunan al-khalqiyah and his sunan al-khulqiyah, his physical attributes and then his character alayhi salatu wa salam. The fourth chapter is a general description of his physical look alayhi salatu wa salam, his fairness and all that. And in the second chapter, the second bab, we read about his khatam al-nubuwa, which is also from his khalq, from the way he was created. Because we remember that the khatam al-nubuwa is a lahmun nashiratun, is a protruding flesh that stands between his shoulders, between his two shoulders at the back, towards the left side, if we remember vividly. And in the third bab, we read about his hairs alayhi salatu wasalam, how the hairs of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was. And in the fourth bab, we read about how he combs his hair alayhi salatu wasalam. So in this chapter on his shape, it is still connected to his sha'r. The fourth we read about, in the third also we read about the sha'r, his hair. And then we read about how he combs the hair, or sometimes that he plaited the hair also sometimes, alayhi salatu wasalam. So now we are reading also about the hair, but something else about the hair, and that is what is shayb. So it says, Babu ma ja'a fi shayb Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The chapter about what is reported of the Prophet's grey hair. He had grey hairs, alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember, he was about 63 years old when he died, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he had grey hair. So read about that today, inshallah. Those of us who have the nuskha of Shaykh al-Albani, it will be the 30th hadith, the Mukhtasar. But those of us who have other nuskha, it will be the 36th hadith, hadith number 36. And that hadith, we need Shaykh al-Albani, said rahmahullah, after making the hazf of the Aqtani, removing the isnad, he said rahmahullah that an Qatada qala, this report is from the Tabi'i, Qatada ibn Bi'amah Sadusi, that Qatada said, Qultu li Anas ibn Malik, hal khadaba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, qala lam yablug zalik, innama kana shayban fi sudghayhi, walakin Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu خضب بالحناء والكتم عن قتادة بن بعام السدوسي أو عن قتادة قال قلت لأنس بن مالك هل خضب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لم يبلغ ذلك إنما كان شيئا في صدغيه ولكن أبو بكر رضي الله عنه خضب بالحناء والكتم. Qatada radiallahu rahimahullah, one of the students of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, Qala qultu li Anas. So in this case, you don't need to start asking that they say Qatada is not an Islam. He said, Qultu li Anas. So what he's going to say to you now is what he heard from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He said, Qultu li Anas ibn Malik. I said to Anas ibn Malik, we know who Anas ibn Malik is. He was the Khadim of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, the young boy who was serving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. he lived in that house for 10 years, radiallahu anhu. So Qatada ibn Bi'ama asked Anas ibn Malik in that, Ala khababa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. That is, did the Prophet make khidab al khababa Rasulullah alayhi sallam. Did Rasul, did the Messenger of Allah, did he make khidab? Did he dye his hair? Did he change the color of his hair, maybe of his beard or of his head? Did he dye his hair? Alayhi salatu wasalam. This is fala. There's a benefit here. This is evidence that the power of predecessors from amongst the tabi'un and those who came later, they used to ask those who saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did the Prophet look like? So they're asking, did he used to make it up? They used to ask about the person of the Prophet and his youth, alayhi salatu. So if you read in a hadith that one of them joined and saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, he could have seen the Prophet and known that he saw the Prophet because he knew the description of the Prophet Muhammad. But somebody who does not know the description of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, neither has he seen the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. He just turned up and looked and said he saw the Prophet Muhammad. How does he look? He does not know. So the powerful disciples were people who would always ask questions about the Prophet Muhammad, including alayhi salatu wasalam, how he looked. So here Qatada ibn Bi'ama, one of the A'imma, Qatada ibn Bi'ama is one of the A'imma of this deen. So he said he asked about Anas, about the Prophet from Anas, that did the Prophet used to dye his hair? He said, Qala. Then Anas said, radiallahu anhu, lam yablu dhalik. That is, his hairs, we are not us. So, in a gray, we have many gray hairs, so much that he will need khidab. Do you understand? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his gray hairs, lam yablu dhalik. That is, it did not get to the extent of an gray hairs were not so much that he needed to make khidab. Lam yablu dhalik. The gray hairs that he had were not as much as that they would need khidab. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, yes, it is from the sunnah to make khidab. And that's what we read from the next bab. And the Prophet actually made khidab. But it was not something that he was used to. In fact, people like Al-Hafiz al-Hajjah said that he made khidab when he made khidab, or he would make khidab whenever he made it. The bayan al-jawad, to show the permissibility and the sunnah of making khidab. And don't forget that he mentioned it as from the aspects of being different from the Yahud and Nasara. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made us understand. It can be different from the Jews and the Christians. We don't make khidab, we make khidab. So he made khidab to also show a difference from the Jews and the Christians. But what Anas ibn Malik was saying here is that his hairs were not so much that all the time he needed to make khidab. He says, Inna ma kana shay'an, that is, shay'an qalilan, his gray hairs were just something not so much, shay'an, feel subbayhi. If you have the nuskha of Sheikh al-Albani, you see subbayhi. But in other nuskha, you see subbayhi. This is what is most common. The dhamma saj, subbayhi. And most of those who have written about, including Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar and Fathul Bari, he mentioned subbayhi. And others too, like al-Imam al-Haythami, in his Ashal al-Wasail, he also mentioned Sudurayhi. Al-Imam Mula al-Yaqari in Jam' al-Wasail, bi Sharh al-Shama'il, he also mentioned Sudurayhi. But what you see in the Mukhtasar here is Sudurayhi. If you have Sudurayhi, it's the most common, inshallah. So what he had, he said, Inna ma kana shay'an fi sudurayhi. The Inna ma kana shay'an fi sudurayhi. Inna ma kana shay'ban. Inna ma kana shay'ban. Inna ma kana shay'ban fi sudurayhi. That is shay'an qalilan. Just shay'ban. A few some gray hairs. He only had some gray hairs in his shaved body. Shaved is what is between shahmatul ulum and the eyes. What is between our earlobes and our eyes. So we have what we call this the cheek. Cheek is too low. It should have a name. Temple. Yeah. The temple here. There's a vein running there, blood connecting there. Then you have headache. The veins usually, you know, get really clear and exposed. The temple. Check the dictionary so that you know it. I think I'm also know it for the first time. So what is between our eyes and our ears? It means the beard that runs from the side to the cheek. It is on that beard because it is part of the beard. The beard is every hair that occurs on the jawbone. And I think the jawbone itself starts on the around the temple. That's where there is a connection between the jawbone and the skull. I'm asking the doctor. The connection between the jawbone and the skull. That place is the temple. So you see from there, the hair comes there. And this is the hair, you know, it has a mention in some hadith that the companions used to look at that part of the hair of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he performs his salah. And with it and the way it moves, they will know some of the surahs that he's reading. They'll be watching him in his salah. The way the hair moves. I think it's reading after when they don't hear it. This occurs mainly in the sirriyat, the salawat that he reads silently. So this shubb, the hair there too is referred to as shubb, the hair that on the temple. So we have only some shubb, like it says, innama kana shubban fi shubbayhi, he only has some gray hairs there. But there are other narrations also from Anas ibn Malik, the Imam Muslim said, that he said كَانَ الْبَيَادُ فِي أَنْفَقَتِهِ وَفِي السُّبْغَيْنِ وَفِي الرَّأَسِ مُبَزُنْ. That the Prophet also عليه الصلاة والسلام had bayad, white gray hairs on his anfaqa. The anfaqa is the side below the side of the jaw, below the lower lip and around the neck, from the lower lip towards the neck. This area is referred to as the anfaqa, the ayn. So he has some gray hairs there, according to Anas ibn Malik in another riwayah. And then he had on the subugain. So here he mentioned just some gray hairs on his temple. But in another report, yes, he has gray hairs on his temple and on his lower lip, around his chin, and I think the chin is closer to the neck, that we are measuring that one. So around his lower lip, and then where, he says, وَفِرْ رَأْسِ نُبَذُمْ. He also has some too on his head, but most of them, as he said by Imam al-Hafiz in Hajar Rahmahullah, most of them are concentrated around his beard here, around his anfaqa. So he has gray hairs now, but the gray hairs are around here, around his skin, around the anfaqa, and some on his head. So someone says he dreamt and saw the messenger alayhi salam. You ask him, how was he? So all he says, he has found his body, he has full gray hair, saying that he didn't see the messenger alayhi salam. He saw something else. Do we understand? Because if the person says he saw something, the man has some gray hair, where? Around where? So you can start knowing how far or near was he in his dream to have seen what he thought he had seen. So the Prophet had gray hairs on his temple, some around his chin or cheek, and then he had some others on his head alayhi salatu wassalam. Walakin Abu Bakr, don't forget, the question was about what? Dying the hair. That did he used to die? No, he did not used to die. Because the hairs that we agree on him, alayhi salatu wassalam, we are not many. The person who used to die, he now said, Walakin Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu khadava bil hallah. But Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to make khida. It was Hanna, Hena. They call it Hena. Is it the one they call Lali? So he makes Hidab with Hena and what? And Katam. Because Hena makes the hair reddish. But Katam makes the hair black. So he mixes, you know, the use of black dyes is prohibited in the Sharia. And the prohibition came from the father. One of the narrations, clearest narrations on the prohibition of the use of black, came from the hadith connected to the father of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Abu Huhafa. You remember that when Fatul Makkah, this hadith is collected by Imam Muslim also, during Fatul Makkah, the father of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was brought to the Prophet Muhammad. And all of his beard were filled with gray hair. All his dead, gray hair. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he ordered them that they should make khidab. He said, wajanni bis sawat. Make khidab. He said, don't you shave. He said, they should change the color of his gray hair. And then he ordered them and said, wajanni bis sawat. But avoid using black. So it is prohibited to use black dyes. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he will not use katam alone, because use of katam alone was, it's like a leaf too. You soak it, you get some seed from it that is black, with which you can make dyes for the hairs and gray hairs. So he will not use that alone. He will not also use henna alone. So he will combine between henna and al-katam to make a color. That color will be some deep brown coat. That color will be around some deep brown, red and black. It will be some deep brown color. So that is what the which Abu Bakr who used to dye his hair. Well, so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not dye his hair all the time, because he did not need to do so. He only had, he had some slight gray hair. The next hadith will make it clearer about the gray hair of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بحديث الـ 37th حديث for the rest of us. But for those of us using the مختصر to be the 34th حديث. عن أنس بن مالك قال ما أددت في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ولحيته إلا 14 شعرة بيضاء. ما أددت في شعري في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ولحيته إلا 14 شعرة بيضاء. أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه said, I have not counted from the hairs on the head of the Messenger عليه السلام ولحيته and his beard. Of course, that will include his lishya, will include his anfaqa and his what? Sudu. So all the hairs on him, both on his anfaqa, on his sudu, and on his head, have not counted except 14 hairs, 14 strands. Illa 14 sha'ratan bayda, except 14 gray hairs. Look at these people, radiallahu anhu. They are counting the gray hairs of the Messenger. And look at the Messenger too. He was patient enough that his gray hairs be counted. If one of us picks the beard of one of us, the beard of this brother is big. Someone grabs it and starts counting if there are gray hairs there, but he's not having any gray hair. If someone starts counting, say, how far is it happening? What do I do? He was patient enough, alayhi salatu wasalam, that his gray hairs he accounted. And Anas bin Malik said, radiallahu anhu, he did not count more than what? 14 strands. So he didn't have many. The one on the sub, the one on the anfa, and the one anfaqa, the one on the ras, they are not all more than what? 14. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Now let's look at, for those of us using the nuskha of Sheikh Al-Albani, the 33rd hadith. And for those of us using other nuskha, we should look at the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, that I think will be the 39th hadith, hadith number 39, so that we don't have to come back to that hadith. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, ما عددت في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ولحيته إلا 14 شعرة بيضاء. I have only counted 14 hairs from his head and his beard. Only 14 hairs. 14 strands of hair. It's nice to use strands before hairs. You don't say 14 hairs. You say 14 strands of hair. Local people. But in the riwayah of Abdullah ibn Umar in the 39th hadith, he says, radiallahu anhuma, that innama kana shaybu rasulillah, for us it is number 33. He says, radiallahu anhu, innama kana shaybu rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam nahwan min 20 sha'ratan bayda. The Prophet's grey hairs, alayhi salatu wasalam, were just about 20 grey hairs, 20 strands. So Ibn Umar said, radiallahu anhu, all of his strands of grey hairs were just about 20. So he's just looking at it and saying about 20. But Anas ibn Malik said, I didn't count more than 14. So the rough estimation of Abdullah ibn Umar of 20 strands is not far away from the actual counting of Anas ibn Malik of what? 14 strands. Do we understand? Connecting these narrations. Now they say, why again, we read it at the beginning of this book, that Anas ibn Malik said, radiallahu anhu, that لَيْسَ فِي رَأْسِهِ وَلِحْيَتِهِ 20 شَعْرَةً بَيْضَى. He does not have up to 20 strands of hair. So there he is also talking about an estimation. He says, لَيْسَ فِي شَعْرِهِ فِي شَعْرِ رَأْسِهِ 20. He didn't have up to 20 strands of hair. Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik now said again, I counted and I didn't count more than 14. Abdullah ibn Umar said, the strands of grey hairs on him, alayhi salatu wasalam, are not more than what? They are not up to 20. It's around 20. So all these, some of them, in fact, Anas ibn Malik has another riwayah where he was saying that the strands of hair around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are either 17 or 18. This riwayah is brought by Imam Muslim. So when he says 17, 18, and the 20 of Ibn Umar, they are all what? Estimations. But the actual count, he said, ما عددت في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولحيته إلا 14 شعرة بيضاء. I have counted 14. So the actual hairs were what? 14. All other numbers were what? Estimations. Do you understand? So we picked two hadiths in trying to understand that. I think that hadith is clear. He didn't have many strands of grey hairs on him, alayhi salatu wasalam. The 32nd hadith, for those of us using the nuskha of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, and for the rest of us, I think that hadith should be 38th hadith. Go? It says in it that, and Simak ibn Harb. Simak ibn Harb is a tabi'i. Rahimahullah. Qala sami'tu Jabir ibn Samra. He said, I heard Jabir ibn Samra waqad su'ila an shaybi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was asked about the Prophet's grey hairs. Jabir ibn Samra was asked. This is also saying, like we mentioned, Mektabi'un were asking the companions about the Prophet. There are a lot of ahadith where you find that the Tabi'un were used to saying to the companions, come and tell us more about the Prophet Muhammad. They would sit there and ask, how was he looking like? How was he tall? Was he short? Was he? Tell us how he was looking. So it is not strange in our deen from the beginning of the religion after it was perfected. It is not a strange thing that people describe the Prophet to you, alayhi salatu wasalam. But it is these days that it is strange. These days, our usual talks are about his clothes. Was it beyond his ankle? Perhaps the much of it is beard. So, but those other sunan that were of him, that were exclusive to him about his nature, the way Allah has created him, very little mention or attention is paid to these things, and they are also important. So to seek to know them also is from the way of those who came before us. They sought to know how the Prophet looked like. And the companions didn't say, Rabbi Allah, are you asking me how he looked like? If not, go and read the silent. No, they were not like that. They said whatever they knew of the Prophet's look, alayhi salatu wasalam. So you could see even the various reports coming. This one said he was, the other was asked. So Simak ibn Hazm, Rabbi Allah, anhu, or rahimahullah, said that when the time Jabir ibn Samra was asked, he heard the response of Jabir ibn Samra when he was asked about the Prophet's gray hairs, that Jabir said, رضي الله عنه, كان إذا دحن رأسه لم يرى منه شيء وإذا لم يدحن رؤي منه شيء. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, إذا دعن رأسه لم يرى منه شيء وإذا لم يدحن رؤي منه شيء. إذا دعن رأسه لم يرى منه شيء وإذا لم يدحن رؤي منه شيء. إذا دعن رأسه, when he makes it behind, when he oils his hair, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he takes care of the hair, he oils it, he combs it, he gathers it, makes it neat, and all of these, لم يرى منه شيء, you will not see his gray hair. And that is evident that they are not so many. So by the time he combs it, they are covered up by the dark or black hair that he had, alayhi salatu wasalam. The gray hairs are covered up. But when the Alam led him, رُؤْيَ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ, but the times that he did not, you know, oil the hair or take care of it and all of this, the gray hairs are seen. Perhaps the hair is scattered, not well combed. So all of the hairs, you know, get their own position in space. So then the gray hairs are seen. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, all of these points to the fact that he did not have many gray hairs on him, alayhi salatu wasalam. There is a riwayah that is close to this, that also from the riwayah of Simak ibn Harb from Jabir ibn Samra. For those of us using other copies, it will be hadith number 43. But for those of us who have the copy of Sheikh al-Albani, he just said wafi riwayatin. In another riwayah, it said that Jabir ibn Samra said, لم يكن في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شيب إلا شعرات في مفرق رأسه إذا ادحن وراهن الدهن. He said, لم يكن في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شيب إلا شعرات. They are not gray hairs. There are not many gray hairs on the Prophet's head, alayhi salatu wasalam, except some few strands. في مفرق رأسه, at the separation of his hair. You know, we reported that sometimes he will separate his hair. He will cut and have, what do you call it, a patch on his head. So when he does that, when he has a path, you see some gray hairs along the path. The pattern will make you see some gray hairs. But is that dahana, when he combs his hairs and cleans it up and oils it, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa rahunna duhun. The duhun, the oiling, covers up the gray hair. So you will not see his gray hair. The gray hairs are covered up by the duhun, by his making it behind, by his oiling the hairs and combing the hairs. So you see that it's in the meaning of the first one, that إِذَا دَعَنَ رَأْسَهُ لَمْ يَرَ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ وَإِذَا لَمْ يَدْهِمْ رُؤْيَ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ. When he does not make it behind, when he does not add oil to it and comb it and all of this, if he does not do so, you will see gray hair. But when he does so, the combing and the oiling does not make you see the gray hair. So that's also showing that he did not have much gray hairs on him, even when he had gray hairs. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. In the 34th hadith, he says, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. This hadith is collected by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. It says, Qala Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said one day, Ya Rasulallah, qad shibta. Qala shayyabatni ghudun wal-waqi'a wal-mursalat wa'amma yatasa'alun wa'idha shamsu kuwirat. Ibn Abbas qala, qala Abu Bakr, Ya Rasulallah, قد شفت قال شيبتني الغود والواقعة والمرسلات وعما يتساءلون وإذا الشمس كورت. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما reported that one day Abu Bakr al-Siddiq said to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, Ya Rasulallah, قد شفت, O Messenger of Allah, you have had gray hairs. As if saying, gray hairs. So those who are older than you don't have gray hairs. Why gray hairs now, O Messenger of Allah? So shifta, you have had gray hairs, as little as they were. It also meant, like we mentioned earlier, the companions were always looking at the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were watching his mood, how he felt, how he looked. Was he laughing? Was he smiling? And all of these in different situations. So here, Abdullah ibn Kuhafa was asking him, radiallahu anhu, that you have grown these gray hairs, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that shayyabatni ghudun wal waqi'a. I have been made to grow gray hairs by much of Siratul Hud, reading, contemplating. Siratul Hud make me grow, or made me grow gray hairs. والواقعة عن سورة الواقعة هي وقعة الواقعة والمرسلات ومو مرسلات والمرسلات عرفة and أما يتساءل and إذا الشمس كورت. He said these سور, these chapters of the Quran made me grow gray hair. I think we mentioned this hadith once. Why we didn't know that we are going to come across it in the book itself. There are many narrations in these surah, either about those that Allah destroyed or about the difficulties of the day of Qiyamah. But actually, when we are giving contemplation, when we see that one, there's a long way to go, the mind will be worried. The mind will ask questions about what will become of it. Anyway, the sincere mind. One of the powerful disciples said, mentioned that they who came before them, whenever they heard Suratul Hud, they would cry. So cry from fear of what has happened to those who had gone past, not to happen to them, and fear of Allah, please keep us steadfast upon these truths that we have realized don't make us go astray after we have realized this truth. The Anbiya also made this kind of a dua. So these things get them to become scared. And then when Allah mentions some of the affairs of the day of Qiyamah, so one gets really scared. Recently, you would have read on the news that in Japan, there was a very serious earthquake. It was about 8.5 on the Richter scale. On the Richter scale, the Richter scale is a standard scale that makes you assess the extent of devastation of that earthquake. Anything below 5 is considered serious. Anything below 5, anything above 5 is considered serious. And the maximum recorded so far is about 9 or so. But this one was 8.5. The last one, I read 8.5. The final, it rose again to 9. It was 9.0. When I read the news, it was 8.5. We are told now that it even rose to about 9 or thereabouts. The highest that was recorded was about 9 or so in history before now. So it's not even contesting the highest that was recorded. That one was on, tsunami was coming. Water was coming from the sea. I saw some footage from Al Jazeera on their news footage. I read the news on the computer. And you could see the water, the wave was sweeping, was sweeping houses. Yes, sweeping, it was sweeping. I think that's the best word to use. It carried along anything you saw on the road. Meanwhile, there had been an earthquake in the same area. So the earthquake, it shook, disturbed, you know, life there. And the water came and packed away everything. So you see some people, someone was driving a car. Before him, one of the bridges. That bridge was built in 6 days. The bridge has been rebuilt 6 days. In fact, the person analyzing it yesterday, I read on the news, was saying that it's even better than the way it was before the catastrophe. 6 days. The bridge rebuilt. In 6 days. They reduced the roads. So somebody was driving on the bridge. Before him, the bridge was cut, so he turned. He made a new turn, he was running, and in front of him, again, the bridge was being cut off. You see a lot of people. About 20,000 estimated, Abi. Or more than that. I read the news from a long time ago. It would have been perhaps more than that. So if one read what had happened to the woman that had gone past, these ones are still child's play. When the people of Nabi Nuh were destroyed, it was not only water from the rivers. He says, "Inna lamma tagalma u'a'a, tagalma." Water went beyond its limits. But also Allah released the water from the heavens. So it was not only water from the sea that destroyed the people of Noah. They were destroyed from the water from the sea and from the water from the heavens. So it says, فَالْتَقَلْمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ قَدْ قُدِرْ. So the two waters met. Yeah, two waters have not met. But look at how great the devastation was. So whatever you have seen now, you can't even still make clear with what happened with Qawm Nuh, how the people of Nuh were destroyed. And you have seen some of the strongest words we are used in Hud. When Allah mentioned, He was ordering the earth, Ya ardi bla'i ma'ak wa yassama akli'i wa zid al-ma wa kudi al-amr. So the matter was decided. So Allah had to command the heavens, open up, destroy, bring water, earth, you to bring your own. And in the end, you have to tell them, stop, heaven, stop, earth, to stop your own. So the people were destroyed. So whatever we would have image in our mind regarding the destruction we have seen in recent times, whether this the very last tsunami, because this one is considered lower, the tsunami is considered lower than the first one that happened about last year or so, 2 years ago or thereabouts. That one was more devastating, because this one, yes, the waves of the water got to some other continent, but they were not very destructive. But the first one, we are destructive on all the sides that it got into. So now, today I was reading, they said that ring is called the ring of fire. There's an area we are now in the Pacific, it's called as the ring of fire. So that's where the largest number of earthquakes and the volcanoes and earth movements occur in the sea. What we are saying, as serious as these things are, they are still little compared to what has happened. All the people of Nabi Yunus alayhi salam that Allah rained stones against them from the heavens and made the earth to swell. Up to today, their land is still going deep down. The Black Sea, the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is still going down. It's around Palestine, between Jordan and modern day, what they call Israel. It's around there. The Dead Sea is still going down. No life lives there. There's no single life, no fish, nothing. And it is the deepest region on the earth. It is said to be about 1,000 meters below, you know, the average earth surface. And it is still descending. The last time I read about it, it was descending 3 meters per year. And they said that the 3 meters per year, and that the speed was going to increase over time. It was said that if water brought some fish in from neighboring rivers, they will precipitate and be thrown out by salt because of pressure variations. So no life is known to exist. They say, وَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مُصْبِحِينَ. So you pass by them day and night. In the morning, so you pass by them, you see them. And then he says, what did they? In the night too, you pass by them. Afala ta'akilu. Are you not going to be sensible enough? So Allah destroyed them, the people of Nabi Yunus, because they did what nobody ever did in the history of mankind before them. So he didn't waste time. And he says, wala yakhafu al-kubaha. That one was for Qawmu Saleh. Those who killed, who requested for a camel. They wanted the camel, and Allah gave them the camel. Imam Hafiz ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah has a lengthy riwayah that they were disturbing Nabi Saleh. They give us an eye. Say, what do you want? So this mountain in our city, let a camel, about 8 months pregnant, come out from the camel, from the mountain. So Nabi Saleh spoke to Allah, and the camel came. It was going to be a fitna for them. So all of what we see today, if compared to what has happened to those who came before, you see that they are so small from the punishment of Allah. When your mind considers all these and thinks about it, it will tremor. Or those of the events of the day of Qiyamah, standing before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, how people will be taken into the fire, or how the fire itself will be brought. In the hadith in Muslim, Imam Ahmad, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Jahannam will be brought by the angels. They are going to use 70,000 ropes. And each of the ropes is carried by about 70,000 from amongst the Malaika, with which they will bring the Jahannam. Because Jahannam will be brought. So all of these, when the mind reads them and ponders about them, it is shocking. And Allah wants us to fear. That's why Zumar says, ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادًا. Allah wants you to fear these things. يَا عِبَادِ فَاتَّقُونِ. So fear me. يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادًا. So this taqweef brings about the shape. The gray hair is thinking about it this day, or those who are destroyed. So they make him fear, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he has gray hair. You remember Aisha radiallahu anha would say that whenever the cloud is thick, I see it wants to rain, the prophet's eyes become somehow. He asked him, but it wants to rain. Some people were expecting rain, but they did not see except what? Punishment. Allah said, Rihun fiha azabun aleem. Yudammir kulla shay'in bi amri, tudammir kulla shay'in bi amri rabbiha. فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. So they were expecting him to. But it was carrying punishment for them. A punishment that destroyed everything that it wanted out of Allah's permission and order. He said they became people who لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. Their masakin is still there till today. Those people. So لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. Nothing is seen of them. Of their remnants, except the houses that they built from mountains and rocks. So all of these things bring worries to the mind, and then the gray hairs begin to come. So these two kinds of information about those who were destroyed and about the day of Qiyamah are common in these surahs. So that's why the ulama say not restricted to these ones alone. Every surah that has that message brings these attitudes to the mind of the conscious Muslim. He is afraid of what will become of him. May Allah make us from those who fear him. So that hadith, I think there are two, but they are connected to themselves. The next hadith, hadith 35. Although of us who are the Nuskha Shaykh al-Albani, it says, An Abi Juhayfa qala, qalu ya Rasulallah, naraka qad shifta, qala shayyabatni Yahudun wa akhwatuha. It's like the first hadith we read just. Abu Juhayfa said, the people said to the Messenger, O Messenger of Allah, naraka, God shifts that we see that you have blue gray hairs. That is, why have you blue gray hairs like this? He said, alayhi salatu salam, God shall you bet me Hud and Wahwat. Surah to Hud and its sisters. That is a surah like it that has its messages. Some of us can say, no, these surahs that have been mentioned in the first hadith, they are the sisters of Hud. But it appears that to say that the surahs that contain the messages that are contained in those surahs are the aqwat of Surah Al-Hud. So those surahs have brought aging to the Prophet Muhammad. I'm showing you that manifested in his having gray hair. The other hadith for the rest of us will be hadith number 42. But for those of us with the Nuskha of Shaykh al-Albani, it will be the 36th hadith. And that hadith is the hadith, it says, An Abi Rimsata At-Taymi, Taymur Ribab, قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومعي ابن لي قال فأريته فقلت لما رأيته هذا نبي الله وعليه ثوبان أخضران وله شعر قد علاه المشيب. In the rest of us, you see, Allahu al-Mashib. But for those of us with the Nuskha of Shaykh al-Albani, Allahu al-Shayb. It says, وَشَيْبُهُ أَحْمَرُ. And his shayb is ahmar. It says, أَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمَعِي إِذْنِ لِي قَالَ فَأُرِيتُهُ فَقُلْتُ لَمَّا رَأَيْتُهُ هَذَا نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ وعليه ثوبان أخضران وله شعر قد علاه المشيب وشيبه أحمر. This hadith was reported by Abu Ramsa At-Taymi. The real name of Abu Ramsa amongst the companion is not known, but is just popularly known as what? Abu Ramsa. there are companions like that. The khilaf about their kneeling will be so much, like even Abu Huraira. Yes, the most authentic about him is Abdul Rahman. But there are so many of the companions, there are not few, many of amongst them had names. Either their lack of is known, their real name is not known, or their name is known, their father's name is not known, like that. There are some like that. So from among those is Abu Ramsa at-Taymi. So Abu Ramsa at-Taymi, the last said Taymur Ribab. Taymur Ribab was mentioned to make us understand which of the Taym. Firstly, that you could say Abu Ramsa at-Taymi. If you say At-Tayami is an error, yes, there is Banu Taym, there is Banu Tayam. Banu Tayam, they are in Misra. They are different from Banu Taym. Al-Imam Abu Mas'ud al-Ghafiqi, one of the students of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, is from among those who also reported Mu'atta Imam Malik from Imam Malik. He is from Banu Tayam. So he is At-Tayami. But others, like Ubayy ibn Ka'b, is also from Banu Tamim. But Banu Tamim, they are said to be about four kinds of Banu Tamim. There is Tamimul Lat. There is a change Al-Lat. That is Banu Tamim of Al-Lat. You know Al-Lat is the name of an idol. So it's been changed to Tamimul Lat. That is the Tamim of Allah instead of Tamim of Allah. So there is Banu Tamim, there is Tamimul Lat or Tamimul Lah, there is Tamimul Ribab. There are other Tamim, about four or five that have been mentioned by the scholars. So this Tamim is Tamimul Ribab. So that you don't think that it is Tamimul Lah or other amongst Banu Tamim. Do you understand? So their own Tamim is Tamimul Ribab, not Tamimul Lah or others amongst Banu Tamim. From amongst the scholars who are from this Tamim al-Ribab is Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Tamim. He is also Tamim al-Ribab. The one who is usually taken for Ibrahim al-Nakhli. Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhli is also al-Kufi. So if you have Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Kufi, Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Kufi, which one is there? And that was what happened, and that was why this imam died. Ibrahim ibn Yazid at-Taymi died as a result of that. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was looking for Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhli al-Kufi. He was looking for him. You know, Hajjaj, he wasted many lives. May Allah forgive him. So some of them were companions and some of them were students of the companions. From amongst those he was looking for was Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhli. So Ibrahim ibn Yazid had run away. That's why if you look at the book, Kitab al-Mutawarin, which was from among the books that were sold recently, if you read it, Mutawarun are those who ran away from the fitna of Hajjaj. So amongst them was Hassan al-Basri. In fact, the case of Imam Hassan al-Basri was considered from the karamat of Hassan al-Basri. Because the day he wanted to kill Hassan al-Basri, Hassan al-Basri was in the house. He came into the house of Hassan al-Basri, but he did not see Hassan al-Basri. He went out, he came in again four times, Hajjaj. But Allah did not make him to see Hassan al-Basri. When Hassan al-Basri came out, he ran away completely from Hajjaj bin Yusuf. But in the case of Ibrahim al-Nakhli, he had run away long ago. So when Hajjaj bin Yusuf told people to look for Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhli, they went there and the man was asking, who is Ibrahim? So Ibrahim ibn Yazid at Taymi came out and said, I am Ibrahim, and they took him away to prison. He died in the prison. So they took him for Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhli, while he was what? Ibrahim ibn Yazid at Taymi, at-Tamimi. At-Taymi, Banu Taym, At-Taymi. Because Banu Tamim is another tribe, the tribe of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. We are Banu Tamim. So then where Aisha radiallahu anha is mentioned as Tamimiyya. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is Tamim. But this is Taym. So, Allahu A'lam. terrible rebirth only seeks to further describe the actual Banu Taim, so that it is not mistaken for another Banu Taim, because Banu Taim are what? They are many, and from amongst them is what? Taimur Ribab. So that's why it says Abu Ramsat Taimi from what? Taimur Ribab. Do you understand that his own Banu Taim is not Taimur La or others amongst them, but it is what? Taimur Ribab. He is the one who said that he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'i ibn li, and he had that time that he came, he had one of his children with him. He said, Abu Ramsa said, fa'uyituhu, so I showed him, fa'kutu lamma ra'aituhu, so when I said to him, I said, haza nabiyullah, this is the prophet of Allah. That is, this is Allah's prophet. This is Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wa sallam. That time, wa alayhi thawban akhbaran. When I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was wearing two garments. These garments are green. He was wearing two green garments. I was shown the messenger, alayhi salatu wa sallam. When I saw him, I said, this is Allah's messenger. And at that time, alayhi thawban akhbaran, the Prophet ﷺ was wearing two green garments. وَلَهُ شَعْرٌ, and he has an hair قَدْ عَلَاهُ الشَّيْدِ, he has hairs that the gray hairs have come over it. That is, you could see some gray hairs on his head. Perhaps at the time that what? He has not put what? Duhum. You remember, he said, he's a da'ana, la yura minhu shaybun. That if he makes it behind, the gray hairs will not be seen. So when he is seen, it will be at the time that what? He has not made his duhum. He has not applied his duhum. He says, wa shaybuhu ahmar. And those gray hairs were reddish. Of course, you know, gray hairs start appearing reddish. Some say, because he saw him after some time that he had dyed some of the hairs. You know, the gray hairs will now appear reddish. Allahu Alam. But the gray hairs were appearing reddish, but they were clearly different from the rest of the hairs, and they were seen. It would mean that he saw it at the time that he was not combing the hairs and oiling it and all of that. You know, ya Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anittarajili illa ghibban. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam predicted getting occupied with the hairs. Except that is, he predicted combing the hairs illa ghibban, except doing so once and then leaving it at another time. So he too would not be somebody who preoccupies himself with his hairs. All the time is combing, all the hairs. It was not like that. So sometimes we'll be seen when he just taking care of the hairs, and sometimes we'll be seen when he just left the hairs. And that is mentioned to be from Al-Bazada. Al-Bazada to that is mentioned from Iman, as he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, is being just leaving some things for some time. You are known, you are somebody all the time. When you are seeing me, you put your cap, you know, nice dress and all of that. Sometimes you just make mukhalaf of that. That is called bazaza. And he said it is from Iman. You are known to be somebody all the time, well combed heels and well, you know, the brocade you wear is, mashallah, it is white, it is like the sun. But sometimes you just do away from that. You are the one on your bike all the time. Those who ride the bike, all the time the bike is, I think you bought it yesterday. Sometimes you mean it may be dust there. You say, you don't clean your bike today, and you buy other things in the cleaner. Sometimes. Aisha radiallahu anha in Adab al-Mufrad was seen by one of the tabi'in to be mending her trousers. So he was asking her, don't let me go and tell people that you are mending trousers. He said, yes, let me mend some and have some that are also new. That because one who does not mend some, he will have all new. So the ulama say, it means that you should have some things that are not like the new ones. You should have some new ones. And you should have some that are not like the new ones. If she wanted anything, she would rub your land, her would get it. And that's why he will say, you know you? I will go and tell people that. Yes, I tell them that. So it's good to have some old ones sometimes, and then some new ones. So the old ones will remember you that you will also get old and die too. When the Prophet ﷺ was describing how Iman will be at the end of time, he said, Yadrusu imanu kama yadrusu yashu saw. Iman will wane in people. You mean the designs of clothes wane. If they are not wearing clothes that have designs that wane, he mentioned that and ascribe it. Do you understand? He says, Iman will wane in people. Yadrusu iman kama yadrusu yashu saw. Islam, Iman will wane in people. You go down. This evidence that Iman rises and falls. That is the position of Al-Sunnah al-Jamaah. So Yadrusu Iman, Iman will be low. It seems that at the time that he was saying it, Iman was what? Alright. The Iman will be getting lower. Kama Yadrusu Yash yourself. You know the designs on clothes also get, you know, worn out. When the designs get worn out, you see the thread, one thread starts moving off, one thread starts moving off. So this evidence that they saw, they had amongst them. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he was responding to the question that if somebody was wearing a sock that got torn, can he still be making al-maqs and al-jorabi? That is, can he still be rubbing the jorab even when the jorab is torn? He said rahimahullah that our past ancestors were not people that we can imagine that all of them, nobody wore a sock that was torn. The people the Prophet was talking to alayhi salatu wasalam, it cannot be imagined that none of them had socks that were torn. When there were women who were complaining that they only had one hijab in which they would make menstruation, so after menstruation, what should they say? If anything touches that, please watch it and wear it again. And that's why you can even wear, they could even wear the clothes even when they are wet from a wash. You can just wash it and put it on again and perform salah in it. So are these the people that we think that their husbands were not wearing socks that was torn? Or clothes that will have designs, if we have, that the robes have? Let's say we have designs. You know, to put the designs, extra money. It's extra. Those, like Abu Khalid now, his own is Ma'aiki. Like Abu Abdurrahman now, his own is the Aiki. They will not be the same, I am sure. One is around 1,000, one is around 1,500. So then too, it's the same. These things are normal from the things you ma adraka an-nas min kalami man sabaqahum min al-awwalin. So these are things that come from time to time. So sometimes like this, sometimes like that. It means that women should understand that too. These women among the female companions who had only one hijab, they did not say, oh, we don't agree. They manage it like that. So sometimes like this, sometimes like that. So if you tell the hadith of Aisha to a woman, I say, oh, so that you will not buy clothes for us. Aisha radiallahu anha, she's better than any woman you see anyone on the earth today. Well, Imam Zahabi rahimahullah, and this is statement. Anytime I come across it, I just try to think, can I really find? She said, no woman stepped the surface of the earth that was more learned than Aisha, and no woman will come later to be more learned than her. Now, it's a fear alarm on the wall. Just think about it. Before her, the wives and the daughters of the Anbiya before her, were they as learned as Aisha? And that's why he likened her to Sarid. Because Sarid is the most beloved food to the Arab of all the food. Yes, there are food. But the one the Arab liked best was Sarid. Special. Bread and meat. So, sometimes like this, sometimes like that. So that nobody comes and says, why is it that all the time you do come here? I say, Al-Bazaar got to me an iman. So sometimes the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, he's seeing, he comb his hair, he coils it, he does this, he's seeing white, everywhere, you know, he goes. And then sometimes he leaves it, you know, so that he does not take out. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, this is why the Sadaqat of Al-Imam ibn Sa'd. Because we have read the last hadith in the Bab, that is why I'm making this powerful in this explanation. One day, Aisha radiallahu anha said to him that Abu Huraira used to report hadith that we have not heard. Aisha radiallahu anha said to Abu Huraira, this, none of this hadith is authentic. Why is it that you used to read hadith you didn't hear from the Prophet? He said, yes, when I was with him learning those hadiths, you were busy with your kugul and you are pinching your face. It is from across the Musa. When I heard it, I laughed, I called and said, come and see. The person who used the hadith was saying that women should not think that they should not be busy beautifying themselves. Because even the wives of the Messenger of Allah and women beautified themselves. So she brought this hadith. In fact, the person was saying that sometimes the beautification could prevent them from learning. That is what Abu Huraira was saying, that you were busy beautifying yourself, but I was learning that time. You are thinking, you are using kugul and your eye. But that time I was learning hadith from him. You know, for them to do that with the intention of pleasing their husbands through jihad, it is khair for them. So you are learning, yes, one bab of khair. Then they are painting their face to beautify themselves for their husband, another bab of faith. So they are not wasting their time. But it was a reason for Aisha radiallahu anha not to worry whether she heard what Abu Huraira heard. Do you understand that? It was a reason for you. Don't bother, you are giving something else, you are giving. So you may not have heard what I heard. So they are busy with that, to thinking. It's not wrong for a woman to be that, to be like that. She likes to be like that. But of course, what we say is that yes, if those paintings and those designs of herself prevented her from knowledge, it did not prevent them from the basic knowledge that they should have. It did not prevent them from basic knowledge. When it begins to prevent them from basic knowledge that they should have, then it becomes prohibited. Or it becomes putting wrong text in square holes. Doing the right thing, also right, but at the wrong time. Yes, that they should paint is also right, but at the wrong time. And don't forget, all of those paintings too should be within the limits of the Sharia. It is not all the... Somebody said the absence for women is the job of Jawaz al-Mutlaq. And I say, yeah. It's not al Jawaz al-Mutlaq Hakaza. You know, it's like he says that his general consensus is that is telling that a woman is not permitted in Sharia to design herself as she likes, and that's why Islam prohibited making tattoos, al-washu. It prohibited making al-washu, tying hair to hair or anything to the hair. It's also part of beautification. But the woman who came needed it. The woman who came to seek for al-washu needed it, as is in the hadith of Asma bint Abi Bakr. The woman came and said, look, my daughter just got married. All the hairs on her head are falling off. Can I give her a week here or help her append hairs to her? I said, nah, don't do that. And he mentioned Allah and Allah who was filat, almost all filat. And then he mentioned others. These are all these aspects of beatification, but they are prohibited. So the aspects of beatification that are prohibited are known in the Sunnah. And anyone that changes the actual nature of a woman that is not known to exist at that time. For example, that a woman, you know, opens her ear and puts a ring, it changes that nature of that ear. The ear is changed, but that is known at the time of the Messenger, so I did not prohibit it. So a kind of designing one's self that is known at the time of the Prophet Muhammad that may appear to change the nature of the hair is not prohibited. But the one that is not known then, but changes the nature, will fall under the nuisance of changing, because he said even in the hadith of Yasin, He says, Al-Mubayyirat min khalqillah. Though he changed the nature of Allah. So those things he knew and he still permitted are permitted. But those things that came later, like women bleaching. For example, there were black women at the time. Umm Ayman, the wife of Zayd ibn Haritha, was a black woman. She did not attempt to change her black skin to white. She was a black woman. Her hairs were Negroid hairs. We are not talking about Mongoloid hairs that were common among the whites. There are no reports that she attempted to make her hair to be like theirs. There are two kinds of hairs of human beings. The Caucasoid hairs and the Mongoloid are those of the white people. We black people are those who have Negroid hairs. So why should a Negro want to make his hair look like that of the Caucasoid or the Mongoloid? He'll be changing it. So in the volcanoes of hair, they say that when a woman does that to her hair, the hair becomes, the bonds in the hair become broken and rearranged and all of that. They mention those bonds. So then the hair become thin and not like the hairs of the Mongoloid again. They will say that it will return to its original state. That's what many say, but if you see any woman that had ever, even for us, made a panning, the hairs will not be like it was before panning. Yes, the effect of that chemical and the heat will be reducing, but will not be just like somebody who had bleached or used lightning cream. If it stops or she stops using it, it will go back to black, but not like before the use of those creams. So these aspects of beautification are not permitted in the Sharia. So we are saying that yes, the Prophet also used to beautify himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. But he will do that sometimes and leave that also sometimes. If your wife says, okay, me too, sometimes I will beautify, sometimes I will not beautify, you may not be able to blame her. She may have in this hadith and evidence, because the Prophet is a model for everybody. He said, like, what kind of lakum, all of you, both men and women. So don't say, oh, you must beautify me. She can say, no, let me not also beautify sometimes. And in fact, that is not the barrier, that women, it's not every time that they are beautified. More so when they start having children. They get busy taking care of their children than painting their cheeks and their lips and wherever they like to put. So we stop on this, inshallah, so that we can continue from the bab of khidab, the bab of dyeing the hair, and the matters that are connected to it. If there are one or two questions, we can try to respond to them. Or if
we
tell them.
We talked about Aisha changing our shoulder.
This, that hadith you have mentioned is one of the evidence that women could wear trousers. There are other reports also from Ibn Umar and some from Imam Hassan al-Basri, and I think one again from Abdullah ibn Abbas, that showed that it says that it is permitted for women to wear their sarawil when they are in ihram. So ulama say if it is permitted for them in ihram, it's permitted for them outside ihram. Aside this hadith of Aisha. But that is not to say a woman wears a trouser and start walking on the street. It could be from the things she wears inside her home. Because what we know about the women amongst the companions and those who came up after them is ikhaul jilbab. The jilbab walks on the ground. Goes down. So in that case, a woman wears a jilbab that's right on the ground and rolling on the ground, such that they went to ask the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what if it touches something that is dirty? And he said it will also touch something that is clean. They were on the ground, they are jilbab or they are jalabi, they are on the ground. And that's what it means to say, ijna'ul jilbab. That's what Allah ordered there. He said, ijna'ul alayhinna min jalabi bihinna. So a woman who makes ijna'ul jilbab, you will not be asking her whether she wears trouser. You will not even come to your mind whether she's wearing a trouser or not. So the woman wearing the trouser for a woman will go back to issues of her wearing it inside her home. Allah wa Allah. Soap that makes the hair to be soft. Soap. So, a mongolite hair, I don't need that soap. Soap, in terms of a soap, for a mongolite hair, sorry, for a negroite hair, maybe it will wash the dirt off it. But that it will make the hairs to be soft. I don't know soap. You know what I mean by soap? We all know soap. Taboo. But are there soaps like that? He said soap. Relax drugs are not soap. Are they? Are relax drugs soap? They are not soap. Perhaps it's not about relaxers. So, well, relaxers, I don't know what they do to the hair. What they do to the hair will determine the permissibility or not. Because what is not permissible is changing the nature of that hair that palming does. So even relaxers does to the hair what palming does to the hair, then it will take the same ruling. And from that is that verse in Surah Nisa of Shaitan's boast. He says, Allah says, لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ لَتَّخِذَنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا. He said, وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمَرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَا آمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَا يُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. الإمام القرطبي, if you read تفسير ابن كثير, you may not get much regarding this issue of women and their dressing as far as this verse is concerned. But if you read الجامع الأحكام القرآن of الإمام القرطبي, you see a lot of discussions in it. And therein he says, whatever a woman does that permanently changes her nature is from this verse. It's from تَجْوِيرُ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ. And it is from the insinuations of Shaitan. So that's why we say, if it was something that the Prophet knew, because his story in this verse was revealed, he saw it, and he didn't consider it as Tagir Khalkillah, that one is permissible. We know that it's not from Tagir Khalkillah because of this Sunnah Takririya that the Prophet saw it and didn't predict it. Like, you know, Saq bin Uzun. Piercing the ears to put rings there. You may put four, ten. Allahu Allah. You know, some women like, you know, the nose. One side like this, you can put two, another one, two, put two. All the nose like this. Now, maybe they're there. So, all of these were known in those times. But those times, that's what we're saying. Those blacks, Bilal ibn Rabah, was it making? Was he making, trying to make his own hair to look like that of the messenger in his texture? Oh, Ayman, the mother of Usama, and Usama himself, because they are both black. Were they both trying to make their hair look like that of Umar ibn al-Khattab? No. He just comb their hair and put the king and the house of the father and the latter extent. But to say they are using some to say that they have to be like the other hairs. So you see, those ones will fall under this Tagir Khalkillah that is mentioned to you from the works of Shaitan. So I don't know what the relaxers do to the hairs. If they change the nature of that hair, the way Pamin does, they take the ruling that Pamin has. But if they don't change it, then they remain like that, inshallah. The last person, inshallah. Okay, go on. They are all for you. If it were permissible, they would have done it before. And somebody, after reading all these, create an artist's impression of the messenger alayhi salam. Say no. Because to create impression, not even create impression, to draw a human being is prohibited. You see the hitman of Sharia now? Because from those who will be most severely punished on the day of Qiyamah are those who draw the images of people. see from the hikam of the written teachers, and if that we are made of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people that have been worshipping him. You have been worshipping the Prophet Muhammad today. Even that was not made. Some people say, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. From that, if somebody making khutbah, he's saying, Ya Muhammad, like this, and the Prophet is late, alayhi salatu wasalam, is prohibited. So we say, Ya Muhammad, Habibi, as if he is before you, in front of you, like this, it is prohibited. It is serious khutbah. You hear people on the khutbah, on the minbar, but because people are white people think that everything a white man is doing is right. I heard this last Juma with my ears. Someone said, As-salamu alayka ya habibi ya Rasulullah. La, you don't say ya habibi is somebody that's not in front of you or that's not hearing what you are saying. That's when the person is dead. So, and that's why, in fact, the companions, they say that when they perform tahiyyah, they used to say, As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. They change it to As-salamu ala al-nabiyyu. So, someone can bring the evidence of dua of entering the graveyard. I say, Prophet did that by himself. This ulama segregates that from it. As-salamu alaykum ya ahla diya. This dua. So why did he say, Ya ahla diya? If they are not hearing what we are saying, are you praying to them? Say, the Prophet taught us to do that like that. Show us another one where he was doing that like that. That's what the ulama say. So you don't say, Ya Habibi, Ya Rasulallah, Ya Sayyidi, Sallimu Alaika, wa. No, you don't say that, referring to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu. If the Prophet had had a picture, they would say that to him, face to face, say, Ya Tara, this is his image. They would kiss it. They would put their heads down to him. I've seen somebody saying that to the picture of Ibrahim Niyas and Sengali. Yes. When we are younger than this, I saw it. Somebody was saying to his teacher, please give me this, give me that, to the picture of Niyas and Sengali. If the Prophet had existed in his new picture of the Prophet had existed, they would have done so. Or they would not do so. They would do so. They would do worse than that. There is nothing they will not do with it. In fact, when people contest for election, they put the support to their vote for the Prophet of Allah. That's how some Muslims are doing. So their minds are so down now. The minds of people are so down that sometimes people do or say something, you need to wonder where is their sense. So it's not permitted to Jew, not only of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu, whether for learning or for anything, it's not permitted. Your second question. Can we? Yes, if it does not contradict other clearly known things in the Sharia, you can.
So I can tell you how
much. Yes, we can. We can. Like the narration on the use of a fly, on dipping a fly into food. And the alchemist and the microbiologist should study that one. You should study the two feathers of the fly and tell us which one is carrying the disease and which one is carrying the cure for the disease. They can do that and tell us that they will not do it. They will so called, they are Muslim Biochemistry Association. They will not do things like that. They've done it. In Australia, Muslim Biochemistry or Australians. So well, we make benefit from that knowledge of kufar too, even when they do it. Because these are the way of the hayat dunya. So who are in akhirat and ghafili. So we think that they are, if they do it, we use it. They make a nice car, we ride it. And we still telling them that they don't become Muslim, we enter the fire. Because those things are not, whether you can confirm that a fly has a disease on one feather or does not have it, it's not the issue. The issue is the Prophet said do it, so do it, alayhi salam. That's why the issue comes, the difference between you and the other kafir. You imani whether he confirms it or not, you believe that it is there. If he comes and says he has done it and there is no disease, there is no liar. If you can't tell him with belief that he's a liar and you don't even believe that he's a liar, you start having problems. You start having problems. You know, I'm telling you, two feathers of life. The two, they are the same, they are lying. And that's why when the Prophet Ali said the honey cures the stomach upset. Somebody drank it, said, can say, my stomach is still, they say your stomach is lying. It means our stomach can lie. Maybe Isa also said in that stomach, his own life, his own eyes lied. Isa Ali said, and the hadith is authentic. He saw somebody stealing. He said, you are stealing. He said, Wallahi, I did not steal. It's okay. My eye is lying. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, whoever is stealing, I swear by Allah, he does not believe it. Allah has nothing to do with that person. So when Isa alayhi salam saw that person stealing, he said, no, you are stealing. He said, no, I didn't steal. It's okay. My eyes, it was my eyes that lied. So please, our knees can lie. The stomach can lie. The eyes can lie. The ears can lie. The ear will lie when it hears something, you think that it has heard, but it is not what is the truth that it should hear. So it was my ears that lied. So if a scientist comes and says, in one study, and say that the sun will not stop burning, it will burn forever, say you are a liar. The fact that the elements there have half life is evidence. How do you have half of a something when it does not have an end? Do you understand? The helium, the hydrogen atoms, they say they have half life. The half of what? The final color was sugar line, I love that. The kid got to be.